Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. I'm telling you, you bring these panelists and you let them not talk about news for a weekend, and then we come in Monday, they're ready to go, for God's sake. So we are ready to go.
Fire up, ready to go.
Let me introduce everybody, and we'll get started, for goodness sakes. WAMC's Alan Shartok has made it over the mountain. How are you, sir?
Well, it was fun getting over the mountain, getting to West Stockbridge. Getting to West Stockbridge was hard. 102 was better. The thruway you could have eaten off. It was great.
Was the wind blowing when you were coming through?
Yes.
It was just a little bit. Unbelievable. Just a few minutes ago.
But that Prius, it really is a good car.
Yeah.
And I'm not being paid to say it.
Rosemary Armeo is here. She is she's the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. What are you sighing about?
Because I had my driveway to contend with. I've been out since 7:30 this morning, shoveling, digging out my car, and I'm still in a sweatsuit, and I have to teach today because school didn't cancel classes. And I'm yielding all my time to Teresa, who came in, sat down, and said, "There's so much to be outraged about."
Well, not the snow. I had a wonderful neighbor who surprised me by using his snowblower on my sidewalk. So
that's sweet.
It was very sweet.
Neighbors are good to each other.
Those random acts of kindness
kind of.
I tell you, when I went out and saw that, I thought, "What? I have the best neighbors."
Teresa Bourgeois is a communications consultant. She joins us this morning, and we're thrilled. Thank you very much for being here.
So
all right.
To be
2
here.
Weeks later, they were married.
Let us get going on what is
my neighbor? He's married with kids. My mother was his second grade teacher. Anyway,
soon we'll have Sharia law here, and then you can.
This. Oh my gosh! Moving right along.
All right, let's talk about. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we had our post meeting on Friday afternoon, didn't we say we wanted to talk about Stephen Miller? And then,
we did. Yes.
And then
look what happened.
And then look what happened. So Stephen Miller was on this week with George Stephanopoulos, correct?
And every other show, right?
Yes,
5 shows.
A couple shows.
He did a
round robin
circuit.
What do you call it? It's not the one. It's 5. Not the trifecta. What's the 5 one?
The Pentagon. No, I don't know.
No. Don't put him in the Pentagon. Oh, my goodness.
The White House is pursuing several options to reinstate President Bush's travel ban on all refugees and travelers from 7 majority Muslim nations fighting back against what one top advisor on Sunday called judicial
usurpation.
Of power. White House senior policy advisor Stephen Miller, the author of the controversial executive order, said the administration was weighing several legal options after the Ninth Circuit Court ruled unanimously on Thursday against reinstating the travel ban. Several appearances in combative interviews on these shows, not only talking about national security, not only talking about what was happening with the immigration ban, but also talking about communications with Russian officials among those in the administration, and also advancing the claims that have been proved false over and over and over again that widespread voter fraud undermined Trump's performance in November's elections.
Again, he had no facts, no evidence is what I would like to see. And he has none of that. He's just repeating what the president said. And as far as Flynn talking illegally to the Russians, all he said was, I don't know if the president still has faith in him. It's not up to me to tell you the mind of the president, which was pretty ironic because he was on 5 shows talking about what's on the mind of the president.
I have to assume, right, don't you all, that he knows darn well what's on the mind of the president.
Yes. I think you're right.
And there's probably some wicked backfighting going on within the White House as to what should be done with Flynn. So when he says, my interpretation, for whatever it's worth, which ain't much, is that when he says, this is just the matter of being of the president and not sharing this with me, he's probably got an oar in the water, and he's probably somewhere. And my interpretation is he doesn't want Flynn around. That's
who doesn't? Miller?
Yeah. That's
yeah. Well, the White House certainly got a lot of different factions that are fighting with each other. That is the Trump way to manage. And there's some advantage to that. But Flynn has always been interesting to me. Why is he there? He was, by all accounts, a brilliant but undisciplined man. That's why the Obama administration got rid of him. He just goes off on his own. And this seems to be exactly what happened. But here's the question to me. Maybe you know the answer to this, Teresa. How could he have been talking to the Russian ambassador and not know that it was taped? That when he came out later and said, no, we never talked about sanctions, he had to have known that the information that he did talk about sanctions was right there for officials to find out. Did he just think he'd be covered?
Did he do it on the phone or did he?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's how that I assume it's some sort of electronic communication that the.
But they say they have a transcript, right?
Exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. It has to have been some sort of electronic communication. And of all people, he would know that those sorts of conversations were captured.
Having led the Defense Intelligence Agency until he was removed. That, to me, is one of the core questions. Now, there's some indication on Flynn that I heard read a bit that he may have used encryption. But again, if you're in that position, does not make common sense. He had to have known. The other thing that strikes me is that there's this conversation around General Flynn that he lied to Pence, and that Trump just doesn't know. And it's hard for me to imagine that Trump did not know about these conversations that he was having with the Russians.
You predicted that, Teresa, on Friday, that there would be a movement to protect Pence, because Pence is the one who got up and said, no, they never talked about sanctions.
Right.
And now it's, oh, isn't this awful? Flynn lied to Pence.
Flynn lied to Pence. But did Flynn lie to Pence, or did Pence know? Did Donald Trump know about these conversations?
I believe in Watergate they call this plausible
deniability. Plausible deniability. Yeah. But I'm not sure, and I think that's what needs to be investigated, and I think here there will be, and the Wall Street Journal posted a story late last night that said that that it's the White House is really looking for him to go, looking at whether or not he has to leave. But there, you know, there will likely be an investigation. Well, clearly, if you have a story sourced with 9 officials, an investigation is underway. And the question is, how much longer does he stay in the White House? But then, do they then continue by asking the question, what did Pence know?
And when did he know it?
When did he know it? No, seriously, I mean, how could they have not known this?
So let's also talk about the role of the FBI here.
Right.
You know, now he has an attorney general who sits at the top of the heap. The FBI, as I've said before, was willing to open an investigation about anything about Hillary, including nose picking. You can only assume that there is some dissonance. Now, there were FBI agents who were furious that they weren't proceeding with Hillary. Are many of those agents or like-minded agents furious when there's cover-up going on about this?
Here's the other thing that's so extraordinary to me, the whole Teflon nature of this presidency, that acts that would have been considered treasonous and suicidal by other candidates and now president are forgiven.
Politically, right?
Well, this has been the case with Trump for 2 years.
So here again, we have the Russians interfered with our election. Oh, people are now saying, why is that so bad? We interfered in other people's elections. Oh, why shouldn't we be friends with the Russians? Oh, what is the big deal that Flynn talked about sanctions? He was just a couple weeks away from getting into the White House and knew this would happen. Why did it even have to be discussed? It is a clear violation of the law. You may not undercut an acting president if you're a civilian, which is all he was at the time. That's really severe.
And I meant to look this up last night, but correct me if I'm wrong. During the only press conference that Donald Trump has had as president, was asked that question about Flynn, and he said, I asked Flynn last night, and I asked him if that what they talked about, and he said he didn't talk about anything. So he's on the record doing this too, correct?
Correct.
So, this is back to your original point of how much did they know?
What did they know? But also, you have an intelligence, besides the FBI questions, you have an intelligence community that was deeply insulted and denigrated by Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You have a State Department that's been decimated by the incoming Trump administration. And you have all of these folks who are professionals who have been concerned about what's going on in Russia for a long time. And so, you know, there's some really serious policy questions. So I think that while the House Republicans, Jason Chaffetz and others, may not be quick to hold hearings, I think it's unlikely that the intelligence community is going to sit back and not investigate this. I mean, I think they are. I think that's why we know the little we know right now.
All I know is we got a letter from Richard who said, Fall Guy Flynn. Dear folks, why is everybody talking as if Flynn talked to the Russians without, in capital letters, Trump's okay?
That's exactly right.
Trump knew, Pence knew, Flynn is the fall guy. Let's start the resignations. Richard and Corin.
Well, that's just unfortunately not how the criminal justice system works. And Flynn is the one on the record. He's the one on the record as having had the talks and then lying about them. And the
under oath.
And is right. Another crime there. That's perjury. So now he's the easy person. He will go.
Well, yes. And it's easy to get rid of him.
Right.
I mean, you say,
right.
Go, and we'll take care of you later somewhere down the line.
Right.
Like, I think we took care of your son. Wasn't the son?
The son was pushed out, too, when he started tweeting conspiracy theories.
About
but
the comment.
Here, you know, what we'll skip over, not only, I think, will the president and the vice president get out of this, there's also going to be no consequences for having put a crazy person like Flynn. He was a known quantity. This is exactly what he did when he was working in the Obama administration. He took things into his own hand that he should not have.
But it's also Bannon and Conway consolidating power, because by all accounts, there's this side intelligence national security group that Bannon's put mm-hmm. together. And you had at the same time, you have Flynn apparently being thrown under the bus, probably appropriately. You had Donald Trump's friend Christopher Rudy, I'm not sure how you say it properly, not to be confused with Rudy Giuliani, but Rudy coming out on TV yesterday. questioning the competence of Priebus, the chief
right.
of staff.
Yes, right. I caught that.
And then you have this profile on Kellyanne.
Yeah, I think the quote was, he's not up for the job.
He's
right?
not up for the job.
A nice guy, but he's
nice
you know,
guy,
this
but
is,
just,
not, doesn't know how this works.
And blaming the disarray
right.
and saying that he doesn't understand how Congress works. Well, in fact, he's probably the one person who does in that mix understand how Congress works.
And he was down there with the president at Mar-a-Lago.
Right. And
so
that
Reince
didn't have
Priebus brought in Sean Spicer, and there's another one, right? The three that sort of came from his
the
faction.
The woman whose name Welsh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What woman is that?
She's
that?
A like deputy chief. She's a person who does paper flow.
Oh, Mary Walsh, the
from the RNC.
Chief of State. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
She's organizer.
There, right. That was sort of the Priebus
right.
faction that came
right.
in.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And we certainly have discussed enough on this program as to how long we think Sean Spicer will be around, especially after another devastating
right.
attack on him by Saturday Night
And
Live.
These are all Wisconsin people. I mean, these are Ryan's
yeah.
people, really, because
yeah.
Priebus is with the
with Ryan,
Ryan
right.
the House Speaker.
So Steve Bannon is on another faction, and he and Kellyanne are Mercer
they're
people.
They're the Mercer people. And
so
Kellyanne, in this probe, I'm sorry to interrupt
no,
you.
No. I want to ask you more questions. I want you to
well,
talk more. They've been consolidating.
They're consolidating power, and there's a profile on Kellyanne Conway in the Post?
Politico.
I'm sorry, Politico, sorry. Because there are a couple other profiles I think people should look at. But anyway, in that she talks about they talk about her being on track to become chief of staff. That's her ultimate goal, and she's basically laying in waiting
and
to become
chief of staff. And husband to become solicitor general.
Husband to become solicitor general.
And remind everybody who Mercer is again.
Mercer is a hedge fund person who he and his daughter Rebecca have been funding various activities of Kellyanne Conway and
Steve Bannon
for more than a decade. And they came in when Trump needed money in July. He approached Robert Mercer for funding. And Mercer's money came, but it came with Bannon and Conway.
That's when we
being,
had another change in
right,
the
right when Manafort left and Bannon and Conway came in. So with Mercer's money came Mercer's people, and Mercer runs something called funds something called Cambridge Analytica, which our homework last week, right, mm-hmm. Rosemary, was that people should look at that. It's a Boston or Cambridge, Massachusetts-based company that does marketing
But it's deeply scary because of the way they do the marketing.
The way they do it, yes.
Which is they look in deep into your Facebook pages and other online stuff and draw profiles of who you are and how you're likely to vote and think.
Extreme vetting.
Very, yes.
Extreme vetting.
Absolutely.
In ways that you don't even
vetting.
Know you're being vetted. And right. they use that to try to move public opinion. And it's
correct.
The one of the few places, voter suppression efforts based in Texas, and this is where the Trump campaign put a lot of its money.
Correct.
And reportedly continues to put its money into the Mercer operation. Now, they were involved in Citizens United. The Mercers funded Breitbart. Once Bannon took over Breitbart, they also reportedly funded this quote-unquote foundation in the Midwest that funded some of the efforts of Kellyanne Conway. They're the ones that funded the Clinton Cash book. Rebecca
yep.
Mercer
yep.
was behind that, and so on and so forth.
So it's very hard not to be conspiracy-minded when you read this stuff as the homework, as we've been doing. And those of you who watch House of Cards, you know what we're talking about.
In fact, there was an email to us that said, is this House of Cards we're
yeah.
watching?
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Well, it certainly seems that way anyway. In fact, to the point where I did, we have to go to break, but I did hear the producers and the showrunners talking about that very issue of how they craft a show that is believable, plausible, but also is, you know, that is, well, as being eclipsed by the truth.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, what they did is brilliant because they took both the fears about Hillary Clinton and put that into the show, and then all this stuff about the Breitbart
right.
conspiracy of the right.
And
it's,
now we're
it's amazing.
Living it. Right. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Teresa Bourgeois join us. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Please use that email address. Panel at WAMC.org. And we will return after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Let me remind you who is on our panel. You know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, and we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org, where we get letters like these.
Teresa and panel. I remember when it used to be Alan and panel, but now it's Teresa
oh my
and
goodness.
Panel. just wanted to let you know that doing all five Sunday morning shows on one day is called Doing the Full Ginsburg, named after Monica Lewinsky's lawyer, William Ginsburg.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, let's...
Remember her?
Thank you.
Look, kids, Monica Lewinsky... Okay, so...
Remember when
presidential
scandals were nice and simple, you know?
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Girl. Wow.
The dress.
She was not underage.
Well said.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Peter says,
yes,
aside from...
Oh, my God. We are veering into...
Aside...
That was... That was then, this is now.
Aside from the immediate danger of this man... on Trumpery, perhaps the most tragic aspect of Trump's election is the simultaneous debasing of the office itself, and that's from Peter.
I so agree with that, the loss of respect and decorum for the presidency.
Daisy, who writes often and well.
Hello, Daisy.
Writes about Chaffetz. If you try to get through to leave comment, his mailbox is full. Chaffetz says he doesn't care about what people outside his district think about him or the job he is doing. He's running for governor, and that's all he cares about, and that's signed Daisy.
Who funds him? Maybe they would care.
Well, that's interesting.
Who? You know, he gets a lot of outside money. Who funds him? Companies? Individuals?
It's easy to find out. We should look that up.
And the U.S. Post Office will still deliver mail even if he doesn't get email or phone calls.
Yeah, don't tell me he doesn't care. He cares.
Do we know he's running for governor, by the way?
No.
I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah. Maybe Daisy knows something.
I mean, I know his name was floated, but I don't think he has any...
I don't know.
I mean, maybe if he gets thrown out in 2 years, maybe mm-hmm. he'll run for governor, but I don't know.
Yeah, but his
district...
Well,
he's got that important committee, that investigation
committee.
Right, oversight committee.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, the...
his district's safe,
I think it's 2020,
too.
Yeah.
His district's safe.
Hi, panelists. Trump cannot just make unilateral decrees which impact or change policy and impacts lives at his every whim. He also needs to follow the law. Mr. Trump has to learn he is not king We kicked out the monarchy in 1777. Love you all, and that's from Nurse Carol.
Oh, I thought that was from one of the Ninth Circuit judges.
Well, Stephen Miller would disagree, but I'm on your side, which is the side of democracy, Nurse Carol. And thank you for being a nurse, by the way.
Yeah. Mike says, I watched the exchange between Stephen Miller and Chris Wallace of Fox News, and it scared me. I thought it bordered on fascism, and I don't like to use that term when extreme statements are made. On Morning Joe, when they play the Miller clips, Jeff Greenfield's reaction was, it sounded better in the original German. That's, by the way, not so new. We're hearing a lot of that. He was thinking the same thing I was, scary, and that's Mike from Glens Falls.
Can I suggest that our listeners might want to look at a Politico profile on Miller called The Believer, June 2016? It was a fascinating profile about how, since he was in high school, he's used disruption to try to get attention. He did it in high school in Santa Monica. He did it at Duke. And he did it when he worked in the Congress. He's very closely connected to Senator Sessions, who, and Sessions considers him brilliant, compares him to Karl Rove. But fascinating profile about him in Politico last year.
Love having you here. Brucey says, suspect that Miller was trotted out to distract us all from the bad press Bannon was getting. Hey.
Well, I think he's part of that faction trying to consolidate their power, the Bannon faction's power in the White House.
Well, and this gets went into what you were talking about before, about, you know, who else do you have at this point or this week?
Right. I mean, you couldn't Vice President Pence, right, Alan? I mean, you couldn't have Vice President Pence out there,
no,
right?
I suppose not.
Right. Conway, she couldn't go out there because of the Nordstrom.
Yeah, but if they put Pence out there, which they could do and which they have done, it would not be to play the spoiler or the mean guy. He would have to be boring. So his name would have to be Boring Mike Pence.
But he'd have to answer questions about Flynn this weekend, which I don't think he was ready to do.
Chris Christie has also been out in force this weekend. You're seeing him a lot more the last week because I think they are looking for a spokesman.
Do you think he's being rehabilitated?
No, I think he's being exploited.
No, I think you're right. I mean, they're trying to find a communications manager, which they can't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Joseph says, IMHO? What's IMHO?
In my humble opinion.
Oh, IMHO. Don't do that, folks. I'm not good enough.
Alan is from a different century, folks.
IMHO.
Really?
I am a happy observer.
We would be far better off to issue visas to those arrested as illegals and allow them to get back and work because they do pay taxes, unlike our president. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you all did not take a snow day. It wasn't easy. I find it impossible to believe that Trump did not know that Flynn discussed sanctions with Russia. He actively asserted himself into foreign affairs with Israel in a very public manner. With all of his strange fascination and connections into Russia, I'm sure he would have no qualms about doing the same with them. Good luck, however, getting a shred of truth out of the administration because they are all bald-faced liars, even if Flynn does go down like the good soldier. Sincerely. Any comment on the SNL Kellyanne Conway sketch this past Saturday night?
Many people, my feminist friends, were upset by it because it was a takeoff on Fatal Attraction. And it had an uncomfortable, sex-tinged feel to it.
Jake Tapper, played by Brett Bennett, and Kellyanne Conway, played by Kate McKinnon.
Right. And basically, Jake, it was a takeoff on how Jake doesn't want her on the show anymore, perhaps because she's lost credibility because of her many and well-crafted lies. So he comes back home, and there she is in his kitchen in a negligee, and she kind of sashays and dances around him and begs for attention and then takes out a knife the way Glenn Close did in the movie. And there is a strong sexual element that many feminists found was, you know, inappropriate. I don't know. It was way over the top, but that's what, you know, Saturday Night Live had the largest ratings in the past, what was it, 20 years or something?
I thought it was clever. I thought it was
well acted.
It was well acted. It was a parody.
Yeah.
On the film, and suspend disbelief. And I have to say that, I had no immediate reaction other than, one of amusement in watching it. I didn't like take umbrage to it immediately.
I found it later that a lot of people online were
absolutely
complaining.
And I know there was a lot of concerns. And I know something you've said to me, Teresa, that I never thought of until you mentioned it, which is that how she plays, how Kate McKinnon plays Kellyanne Conway is sort of as that of the victim.
Right.
I think is a really good point.
Not on this one.
Well, not in this sketch, but in some of the earlier sketches that she was doing with
I don't think they have. I found it sexist and offensive immediately. I just thought there's so many other things you could go. And I don't think SNL is doing a good job with the number of things. I don't think they're doing a good job with Kellyanne.
An interesting point. Because for the first time, first of all, I don't know if it's on the front page of the Times because I don't read the paper version. I read the thing in the middle of the night. And one of the things is that they came out hard on critiquing SNL, but not for that, for virtually everything. Some of it was boring, some of it was this, some of it was banal. And I'm saying to myself, I wonder what they could be thinking there at the Times. And this is really a media project question, I guess.
It is.
But what could they be thinking that they're coming out with this critique? Everybody's saying, well, first of all, they're making out like bandits because you read that one article, and if you go to bed at 7 o'clock at night, as I do, they give you the place to go to watch each of the important stuff. So they're big beneficiaries of all of this at the time.
I don't think Saturday Night Live is doing it for money. I don't think they have to. They're getting incredible attention, and I think
No.
Kate McKinnon did a hat trick last night, or Saturday night. She did. She not only was Kellyanne Conway, but she played Jeff Sessions, which was my personal favorite. And she played Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Right.
And Elizabeth Warren didn't come off great in it either.
No, she did.
They're really doing a lot. And Kellyanne deserves some of the sexist coverage she's giving because of the way she plays it on TV. Oh, Jake, I'm so happy to be here, Jake. Thank you so, so much. And I've done Yeah, she plays the little kittenish. She's the long blonde hair. She totally Yeah, I know you have a thing for her. So see,
you're turning red.
I just think it's funny.
So see,
no,
the sex thing is real, I think, I'm glad they.
I think you missed the point of what I was saying. Rosemary, I was actually talking about the Times and how the Times are big beneficiary of SNL and every week. And this week they just slapped them across the face a couple of times to show how impartial they were.
And there was a throwaway line in that article that perhaps that the skit with Conway was, I don't not think they use the word sexist, but something well. I think Seth Meyers is the person who's done the best on Kellyanne Conway. I think Seth Meyers has been
brilliant.
He
hasn't parried her. He did the best actually
But he has done this, what does he call it?
The closer look.
This all started with Barbara's question.
Oh, sorry.
Any comment on the SNL Kellyanne Conway sketch this past Saturday night?
Yeah, it's got people talking.
Okay.
Do one more. Well, actually, let's take a break. We'll come back and do more letters. So take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support comes from New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts, offering a full selection of hydroponics, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment, Southampton and Framingham, Massachusetts, online at nehydro.com. Hudson Beach Glass, Beacon, a contemporary glass and jewelry gallery, plus a hand-blown glass studio, and fine art upstairs, hudsonbeachglass.com. Bedard Brothers, representing 7 automotive brands in 1 Berkshire County location for 60 years and counting. Sales, service of new or certified pre-owned cars or trucks. It's hard to beat Bedard, bedardbrothers.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring plants for Valentine's Day. Seeds and seedling starter kits. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Closed Sundays. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. And from MPAC, presenting an introduction to wave field synthesis, a series of workshops and demonstrations on MPAC's new 496-speaker 3D sound system, February 16th through 18th, empac.rpi.edu for information. Thank you.
morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We'll go back to letters. I interrupted Alan to go to a break.
You never interrupt me, Joe.
Well, I was just,
ever.
You know, to pause.
We voters, media Trump supporters who aren't crazy about him, have to stop normalizing him. He's been doing it for 2 years like a persistent backache. You learn to live with it and just becomes the new normal. Not good. And that's from Lou.
See, I don't agree. I mean, I think that line in Saturday Night Live, which to me was the best line of Saturday Night Live, was that, you know, I just wish that there was one day where I didn't wake up and there was a CNN alert that scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. That there is this exhaustion. I mean, I think people are very aware of the backache. At least the people who had the backache in the first place, anyway. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think the public. I mean, even it was amazing to me on the Sunday shows, even the roundtable, the reporters' roundtable, they were all talking about, oh my God, this is only week three. It seems like year three.
Yeah.
It was just shocking to me how consistently across.
And I will.
It's 25 days today, so we're a quarter of the way through the first 100 days.
Jeez. I will remind that his supporters love this angst. Right. They love that there's upheaval and disruption. How many times did they tell us this is exactly what they wanted? The old system didn't work. We're going to shake it up. And Trump has delivered on that.
Now, I'm not I'm an anti-polls person, but I will note that the polls show this weekend that his popularity is going down. And
hey, you take it where you can get it.
Right. But it is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you don't know what I mean.
I don't trust the polls anymore the election.
But
I didn't trust them then, and it's not going down fast enough or precipitously enough for me.
Right.
I mean, he's done horrible things. What will it take? What's the line in the sand for Trump?
I think this deportation he's doing over the weekend is all of these things are trying to—
These are the raids.
The raids.
His supporters
trying to solidify
love that.
His base to that. Try
okay,
to
here's a quiz question.
Quiz question.
When Trump signs an executive order, he is shown seated in front of a large emblem with many points and a figure in the middle. Do you know what this emblem means?
Oh, yeah, we had a guy wrote into us and asked that question. We looked it up. It is a blown up Medal of Valor. It's a military medal, and they made it really big.
And it was at the—
Did he get it when he was in the Army?
No, it was only at the they keep on using
Don't
the
you
picture,
see?
But it was when he signed the immigration ban, and it was at the Pentagon.
Correct.
It is in no other places. People have said that it's in his office.
It's not in the Oval
and
Office.
And it's in the Oval. It's
no.
not. It was the only one. The image is used widely, and if you want to tell, look at the tie. Sort of the easiest way that I've found to tell. And I know they're usually red, but in this case, it was different. And it was only in the background of the Pentagon.
Right. So. Now remember, I've told you people not to use initials, so here goes. But you did it anyway.
All right.
Your heads are in the sand if you don't think, this is called Mercers/Democrats. Panel, your heads are in the sand if you don't think the Democrats play the exact same games.
Oh,
CGI closed down.
Clinton Global Initiative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. CGI, Clinton Global Initiative, closed down a month after HRC, we know who that is,
Hillary.
Lost, and Dems thought nothing of it. At least Trump is bought out by Americans. Huh? This is one of those letters I write back and say,
well, these are people who don't like the work of the Clinton Global Initiative. And so if you don't like efforts to bring people together globally to fight AIDS, if you don't like efforts to bring people together to fight malaria, if you don't like efforts to bring people together around the world to educate girls, well, then so be it.
Yeah, what a horrible organization.
What a horrible organization.
Yeah. And they did shut it down. That's because of the incredible protests and noise raised during the election. None of which resulted in any kind of charge. Or
better we should bring people
doing.
To Mar-a-Lago and all
sure.
the rest of it.
Sure.
Sure. And that sure. and nobody and those people are not yelling about that.
Sell the Justice Department space in Trump Tower at
Defense
prime
Department.
Midtown Manhattan prices. Sure, sure.
And
that's
you
great.
Know, also, I'm not sure it's totally. I mean, so there's also something called the Clinton. CGI University, Clinton Global Initiative University, brings together college students from around the U.S. and around the world. And I think there's going to be a CGI University gathering this spring again. It's amazing they're bringing together young entrepreneurs to try to address some of the key challenges around the world around healthcare and energy and such. And I think we need people from around, young people from around the world talking to each other more, not less.
And good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as Rosemary said, it may not be how the criminal justice system works, unquote, with regard to speed and procedure. Flynn is susceptible to criminal prosecution. How this might be addressed with regard to Pence's complicity is quite different. Pence may well be subject to, parenthesis, eventual articles of impeachment.
Right.
The Flynn affair may well lead to sufficient Republican House support to Representative Nadler's resolution of inquiry, which is now pending before the House and should be discussed. And
dream on, dream on. This is the House of Representatives will not impeach Pence or Trump.
Or as
something,
you say,
some line that I cannot foresee where in the heck it lies must be crossed before we even get close to that.
When they lose public support, when the, you know, I don't foresee it happening. Although, oddly, there was a weird story about betting all around the world.
Yeah, so 11, you can get 11 to 10 odds, or a little worse than even money, of Trump being impeached this year in the House of Representatives.
And I know Rob's going to go and look up the Statler brothers playing Dream On.
Right.
The best hope for people who want to see him impeached would be 2018, when I guess the Democrats would have more power and more numbers than they do now.
If they take the House, and
that's a real long shot.
You bet.
That's a huge long shot, even with the upset that there is because just of the numbers of who's running and where. And then you would have a Democrat who could push an article of impeachment. But I don't see it happening.
And also, I'd like to, but I don't.
And it's Jerry Nadler, for goodness sake. I mean, he is really on the far.
Yeah.
He's, you know, the congressman from the West Side.
Right, but, yeah. Right.
If the public conversation is about impeachment, then it's not about what they're doing to the health care, the ACA, Affordable Care Act. Then it's not about these regulations.
No, it's going to be about the Russians. I'm telling you now, if they're vulnerable anywhere, because then you bring out the McCains and everybody else.
What I'm saying, stay focused on the politics. I didn't mean to interrupt.
If you stay focused on the politics, are you staying focused on the politics when you have Bernie Sanders, you have Al Franken coming out this weekend and saying, you know, the guy may be mentally unstable?
Well, they didn't quite say that. I heard Al Franken, and I didn't take it that way. But to go back to Alan's point, I've heard you say, and I agree to you for a long time, that it could be the Russian thing that undid him. But you know what? That's been so watered down, Alan. Listen, people are now saying, well, is it so bad that we want to be friends with the Russians?
I don't see it. I think, Alan, it's the issue of, does he have an economic connection to them, right?
Yes.
That's the fundamental unanswered question.
You have to have a direct connection. For it. And that's why, to me, it's all just too circumstantial. It's very circumstantial right now. We know that. Yet all the people he's surrounding himself are getting caught in this, you know, pot here, this Russian pot. And that could lead to him.
And they're political concerns, but they're also global security concerns.
Yes.
With this odd posturing. I mean, I know we'll get to it maybe later, but the whole issue of what happened with North Korea this weekend with the
ballistic missile,
and that ties back to...
So what does he do? I mean, what can he do about... you said get to it later. We have a couple of seconds, right, Joe? But I'm interested in what he does. I mean...
About North Korea?
About North Korea. We have to pressure China. Oh, yeah, right. That's worked in the past, right?
By the way, there really is only one China. That was a quick turnaround he did. Maybe he is getting in line with that idea.
So what do you do? Do you lob one their way? Oh, no, this isn't going to happen. Right. Now, exactly what are you going to do? Kill a million civilians on the Chinese border? Please.
Right. And you've got South Korea.
Yeah, which he did not mention, by the way. When he was with Abe, the Japanese guy, he forgot to mention South Korea's security.
Which is in a mess right now.
But you have
a total
problem.
Political meltdown.
Right, yeah. You have a problem in South Korea.
Sure.
because last year in the elections, the current president, their majority lost, and now she is embroiled in impeachment hearings, so the prime minister is in control.
Correct.
And so General Mattis just was there and meeting with them, but as all the reports are, that you know, within 6 months or so, the people he met with were probably no longer in power.
Right.
Let's take a break. We will be back. I promised right from now on I would get to exactly at 58:30. So here we go. I'm going to prove myself correct. WAMC, panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We will be, we'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious, fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies. Bright Penny. The Waldorf School.
See, text requests.
As Rosemary said, dream on.
All right, we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Alan has a few to attack here.
Exactly, and that's the right term. Jamie says, actually, zero major feminist sites took exception to the Conway sketch. You made that up.
If Journalism and Women's Symposium, www.jaws.org. Look it up.
So you made that up, and it was signed to Jamie the Good Feminist. If you're offended, you just don't understand comedy or too old to understand it. No, meow.
Well, that might be, you know, I'm old and I don't understand comedy, no, but I mean, I was offended.
It was immediate. It was immediate on Twitter, on social networks, that people were offended by it and thought that they had gone too far. So that's just not true.
Tracy says, any comment on Representative Nadler finding resolution of
I think we did that one, didn't we?
Of inquiry, asking DOJ to turn over all info on Trump's conflicts of interest and ethical violations. Wasn't bringing the Japanese PM a violation of the Emoluments Clause? Okay.
Yeah, Mar-a-Lago made some money on that little deal, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that whole issue about them going to Mar-a-Lago, the whole national security issues about that.
The cost of it.
Well, the cost of it,
The
danger of it, how much it cost. Plus, they discussed in public, not in the White House, not in the Situation Room, in public, in a public dining place, they discussed how they were going to respond to North Korea's missile.
Lock him up.
Attack
him up.
Robert Kraft from the Patriots was there. It was okay for him to hear it, right?
There was a wedding going on. There were people all over.
Wedding going on.
There was in the background.
I know.
Behind the curtain, reportedly behind the curtain where they were standing during the press conference, there was a wedding going on. And after they went in, Trump brought them all in to say hello to the bride and groom. Why? Because he'd made so much money. What was his quote? Some crazy quote.
So my favorite part of
that. Members of this club, Trump said of the Lilliards, they've paid me a fortune.
My favorite part of that story, though, is that Trump goes out golfing with the prime minister. They put the press into a basement, and there is a window going out to the golf course. So they put black garbage bags and tape them all over the windows
so
they can see out. And there's just these hilarious pool reports of just saying we're just staring at black garbage bags.
And this is the same Trump who couldn't talk about Obama's playing golf enough.
Enough. Right. One of the news outlets showed a whole series of his tweets. But the whole issue of, besides the money, besides the hypocrisy, the danger of having a public conversation with the national security folks from Japan and the U.S., State Department and other folks, about how the U.S. and Japan was going to respond to this North Korea.
The whole idea of national security, which was so front and center with Hillary Clinton and her emails, which no charges, let me remind you. We've got a president using an Android that's unsecured. It's dangerous and it's open, and he tweets everything. There are pictures surfacing on the internet, and I have not fully checked them out. Maybe some listeners know about this, that show a key to a bag filled with nuclear codes and information.
But do we know that the nuclear code, that was the thing?
We don't know exactly what's in there, but it was certainly a bag that was
with a key.
That was right with the key. Why was that in pictures that are now circulating on the internet? It's lax. He has many more pieces of information than Hillary Clinton likely did because he's president and seems to be a lot less safe than she was.
Right, and I diverted from the writer's original point too. And I don't think Alan has he ever, you know, he said that he was going to divest from his companies. Has Trump fully divested?
He did,
divested?
And he said no more deals. She got up there and she said, the lawyer said, no more deals. And boy, those kids, according to the Times this weekend, those kids are making one deal after another. And then you can believe anything you want, including the Tooth Fairy, that there is no communication between the Donald and the kids. But I suspect there may be, and that's why you have these other kinds of arrangements that other presidents have made.
Baby Johnny made a $100,000 trip, $100,000 cost to us, trip to Uruguay. That sounded like a new deal to me.
And didn't they say at that same press conference with his lawyer that the profits that were made at
donated to the treasury,
so Trump facilities would be donated to the treasury?
They did say that.
Was it the facilities or just the Washington Hotel, or was it all the hotels?
No, I think it was the hotel. It was the Washington Hotel.
Right. So, you know, has any of that money? I think this is.
There's
David
no way to know how much
Farenthold,
money it was.
I think
it's
is
private.
That,
it's
let's
it's
put him
a
on
private.
This.
Well,
how
it's
can
the
press
thing,
check it? It's just like it's crazy.
And it's the same thing about paying because they said that he was going to pay back the money from Mar-a-Lago, right? And I mean, we
did
no,
he say that? I don't remember.
They said because there was a Monuments Clause issue. They were pressed on that before once they said they were going there, and so the Trump said that he would be paying for the trip, but
oh,
for
boy.
Everybody, how much taxpayer money? This is now 3 weekends, two of which have been spent at Mar-a-Lago, right?
And we got his buddy from Israel coming this week, so and who knows where they'll be going.
How much in taxpayer money is that costing us?
I love these road trips.
Jeez.
Come on over.
Road trip.
And then we'll go on a road trip. It's great.
Road trip.
All right. You have any more letters?
Oh, yeah.
I'm interrupting the letters.
No.
You're adding context to the letters.
You're adding value. Catherine says, Friday I was, what?
Value added.
Yeah. Friday I was contacted by the NRA, and rather than hang up, I listened and then gave my opinion. He hung up on me. I think.
Should wear that as a badge of honor.
I think many more people should answer these polls, and then we shall see what the true ratings are. Okay, Rob, you want to play that again?
Dream on. Isn't there a different version of Dream On?
Dream on. Okay.
Thank you for doing that, though. Good idea.
Yeah. But can you imagine that the NRA, you know why they hung up on you? They hung up on you because they didn't want you added to the poll. Right. That's what that was about. Never give the sucker an even break. P.T. Barnum. Okay, so David says, the overly feminist point of view is what keeps many white males forever rejoining the Democratic Party, and from many of our best comedians, from ever wanting to perform in front of politically correct audiences. Seinfeld won't do colleges anymore for just that reason. The closed-mindedness in humor can lead to a form of censorship. Just ask Lenny Bruce. It was a brilliant, hilarious sketch, period, said David. Anybody?
Thank you for your opinion, David.
Thad says, Clinton Global Initiative, downsized, not shuttered.
Right.
Article on Politico this AM. Peter says, I think we read one from Peter already, and you only get one, but okay. Well, as Rosemary said, it may not be how the criminal justice system works.
Yeah, we read that one.
We did?
Yep.
With regard to speed and procedure?
Yep.
Read Clinton, that.
Okay.
Read it.
Thank you, Peter.
Maureen says, dear panel, please discuss the claim Miller made that the president's authority will not be questioned. My jaw dropped. What is his educational and legal background, please?
Well, the Ninth Circuit said, nope. So Right.
It's
well,
And I think it is limited in this case to immigration policy. And the president does have a lot of say in that. But he's not above the law. He has to keep within the Constitution.
Right. I think Stephen Miller suggested that the president was above the law.
Correct. And, it sounded like it.
It sounded like it. And I think that maybe there needs
to be.
That's
the point they made at the court, too, Teresa, was that, no, you don't have the right of review.
Right. I think that there's little constitutional education and about how the U.S. Constitution works going on. But he said a lot of things, Stephen Miller did.
Michael says, do you think Bannon and Conway know the truth and only publish and speak lies to manipulate the less educated? That's from Michael.
Yep.
I think that they have an agenda and they throw a lot of gorilla dust. They try to disrupt.
I call it red meat.
Gorilla dust.
Yeah, gorilla dust. Yeah. Red meat also.
Yes.
I'm a vegetarian.
Me too. Do you eat egg whites?
I do eat egg whites. Sorry. I'm a fake vegetarian. I also eat fish. So what is that?
A vegetarian.
A vegetarian.
A pescatarian. Yeah.
A picky eater.
Lisa says.
You may get letters on that. Just what you're, I know you know that, but anyway.
I'm sorry.
Lisa says, who was spying on Flynn during the telephone conversations in question? And why have I never heard us focus on James Clapper's lies as under oath as head of the NSA?
What? We talked endlessly about Clapper's lies as head of the NSA. A lot. I don't know.
Take that.
Okay, but just to be clear, if the security folks are national security folks are listening in, it's they would be listening to the Russians. And so in listening in to the Russians, then they would
nice
hear
point.
Flynn.
Nice
so it's listening in to the Russian ambassador to the U.S. in this case. And that's the person that Flynn was having the conversation with.
So do we know? I mean, has there been any leak or anything that we know that he was recorded or that?
Well, the Washington Post and then the New York Times reported, was it last Thursday night?
Yes.
Yeah, that in the Post story sourced 9 different officials saying that there was evidence of these conversations. And then the Times sourced, I think, 3 or 4 officials. And so the speculation is that when they were listening to the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, I can't say his last name, I apologize, that's when they heard Flynn.
So there was an additional paragraph from Lisa who said, additionally, we have never seen proof of Russia interfering in our elections. At this point, the Washington Post is often fake news.
Oh, my God. There's not evidence to convict someone in court, but there is enough evidence that 17 intelligence agencies, both in the United States and around, have recommended looking into it further. That is not fake. The dossier, which BuzzFeed exposed and we know what was in it, has actually been supported by evidence that has come out later.
Portions
have been verified. Yes, portions have been verified.
Including by the BBC over the weekend.
Yeah, so it isn't just the Washington Post, which is as far from fake news as you are likely to find anywhere in the United States. Do they make mistakes? Yes, it is, after all, run by humans. But it is not fake. It's verifiable based on evidence and correct it when a mistake is made.
And
that's just trash.
And Republicans have noted this also. This is not partisan. Republicans
correct.
Have voiced concerns. Those who have been in intelligence committees who've been briefed have come out of those briefings and voiced concerns
we
about what they have
learned. We as Americans ought to be terrified of what the Russians are doing. I don't understand how this became a partisan issue.
Susan says, my question for you is, how much is this costing the taxpayer so far? Per week since January 20th? Do you know how much is being spent by this clearly incompetent, she says, president?
$30 million it's costing from Melania Trump to remain in Trump Tower in New York City. Taxpayers, $30 million in extra.
Yeah, but Barbara, he's not taking his salary.
Teresa?
Sorry, why do I've done that to you before.
That's okay.
Because Barbara always sits there.
Right, but
Teresa. Teresa, how about that? He's not taking his salary, so.
Except for how much money is the Trump Tower, how much money and taxpayer money is being paid to the Trump Tower to rent space. Mm-hmm. How much money is being paid to Trump hotels or to Mar-a-Lago when the Trump group goes down there? It's just unbelievable.
So Joe writes, wondering what the panel thinks of Steve Bannon's fascination with the concept of fourth turning, which basically the basis for his apocalyptic vision for where the country is heading, inevitable war, which will be worse than all prior wars. This is based on a theory put forth by a couple of historians. I wish I was making this up. Joe from Del Mar.
Yeah, the historians have spoken out about this. There's some good articles to read about, including Time Magazine's cover story on Bannon. And the historian said, well, wait, we don't really think that war is inevitable. And so he kind of just cut out the interview after that. So it's his own view of it. He's expanded on that apocalyptic vision.
And there are people who've had these views, but they haven't been in the White House in positions of power. I mean, that's what's different here.
People who could bring about the said war.
Richard wrote,
I watched Mr. Miller's interviews with George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week. He repeated the charge that millions of persons voted fraudulently in the election, including the alleged busing of thousands of Massachusetts residents to vote in New Hampshire. To Stephanopoulos's credit, he repeatedly pointed out that the Trump administration has offered zero evidence, but Miller offered nothing. I found this interview nothing less than chilling.
Repeating the lie, and then Donald Trump tweeting praise to him. I mean, this notion, and the New Hampshire officials came out after that and said there's no evidence of this. It's astounding, really. It's true. I've worked in the New Hampshire primary and presidential primary. It's true that people are bussed in from all over.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're bussed in to volunteer.
Right.
They're not bussed in to vote. And so my question to him is, well, you've worked in these elections. Are you saying that you bussed people in to vote illegally? You know, he says he's worked in those campaigns. But yes, indeed, people are bussed in from all over, but they're bussed in to volunteer to drive people to the polls, not to vote, and to create such false information about our elections, I think, is a real serious problem for our democracy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to some other issues. And is there anything? Did we miss anything? I don't think we got to our full list.
Miller also said in those interviews about health care.
Yes.
He said that they had a plan about health care, but they weren't going to reveal it and because then people might attack it. So my thought on that is if you have a plan on health care, that if it was revealed, it would be a problem for you. You don't have a plan on health care.
That's exactly right. I think what's going on is they're going to let Obamacare, ACA, expire. And they're killing it. They no ads. The sign-ups are down. They're going to let it die of its own weight by not fixing it, by not doing anything, because they don't want to. They want to be able to say the program failed of its own accord. He failed. Now we're going to come riding into the rescue rather than repeal. I think it's going to drag on for another year.
It's Trump Care. The moment he signed his executive order, it became Trump Care, and they're trying to, as Trump said, explode it. Or I think he actually meant.
You're talking about king of branding and marketing. He will not spin it that way.
Well,
and many
it's up
people
to the
will
American
not
people.
Believe that.
Meanwhile, the new number, I believe, came out yesterday that it was 12.2 million people have signed up for coverage, even with the uncertainty around it.
Wow. That's a lot less than the 20, though, that we had been approaching when there was still a Democratic administration.
That they have returned to the program. Yes.
Yeah, it's failing.
So we also have our visitor from the north.
Canadian Prime Minister meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So,
well, he's going to have to eat a little something, because you know he was no fan of Trump's during this time.
He was careful though.
Yeah. Well,
he was careful always to say we'll work with whoever the American people pick.
Yeah. Still, they're not going to forget the fact that he was clearly in the other camp.
Well, Rick Perry wasn't either, and now he's Secretary of Energy.
But I think he's being
well. His stupidity goes any of the false memories.
But isn't Trudeau though being true to his values and his country's
yes.
values by welcoming in immigrants and
yeah.
refugees?
Oh,
yeah. and such?
I loved his tweet saying, And if you're rejected by America and you need a place to go.
And there's a big story in the Times this weekend about how this was happening.
Don't forget flowers and candy tomorrow.
We are
oh, yeah.
We're out of time. Thank you very much. You'll be back.